An enormous share of Alaska's food, fuel, and supplies come into the state through just a single access point, the Port of Anchorage. Even small communities in distant parts of the state rely on the steady flow of goods over the port's docks. In the first part of a series on the port, Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes takes a look behind those numbers.
On a crystal clear morning, semi-trucks are barreling up and down long drawbridges that connect the asphalt docks of the port to the belly of a massive container ship. I thought there'd be cranes or something like that, and instead there are just literally tractor trailers driving in and out of the ship. Twice a week, cargo ships from Tacoma dock at the port. I'm staring at the one run by Tote Maritime, and for hours, a frenzy of heavy equipment moves almost 500 containers onto shore. Billy Goodwin supervises operations for Tote and says this is one of the most essential links in Alaska's main supply chain.
Everything you see in the store comes up either on this ship or the ship next door over there at Matson. Small amounts of stuff come up over the road, but pretty much everything that comes to Alaska comes on one of these two ships.
For the Rail Belt and Western Alaska, it's these ships that haul up a vast spectrum of goods. As Goodwin is talking, we see trucks leaving the ship carrying pipes, heavy equipment, a 20-foot V-hulled boat. In the parking lot are about a dozen single-story homes.
I believe we only had four today.
I would never think that you could ship up whole modular houses.
Yep, those come up just as you see them there.
Goodwin drives us onto one of the ship's five decks, filled with a chaotic ballet of trucks negotiating tight bends and somehow avoiding collisions with each other. Containers are squeezed like Pez candies into every available corner of the vessel.
It's just a big parking garage in here for trailers.
We park, and Goodwin walks me up a few spiraling staircases to the bridge of the ship. And from there, you look out over the port's enormous staging area, packed with elaborate grids of containers arranged according to what has to be moved where at what time.
No one ever sees what happens here, so the first row of trailers that you can see over there past the little bunch of cars, that's our reefer rows. That's where we plug like the perishables and stuff in that you were referring to and stuff. And then as we go out to row 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, that's just our main yard. And then we got Shorty Row over here, line haul area.
On average, a full-length Connex container loaded up with what's called FAK, freight of all kinds, weighs 30,000 pounds. The volume of goods pouring off this one ship on this one single morning is staggering.
If you eat it, wear it, use it, or drive it, it's on the ship.
Grace Green is a vice president and general manager for Tote Maritime in Alaska, and her office overlooks the company's ship as it unloads. Tote rents one of the terminals that stands to be improved if funding moves forward for the port's modernization project. And Green thinks that Alaskans don't always understand the port's role as a critical piece of infrastructure, not just for Anchorage or South Central, but for the whole state.
Everything that comes in here, like I said, 85 to 90% of the freight that comes to the state comes here through the Port of Anchorage, comes on one of these ships, and then it gets distributed out either on trucks, on rail, or by air to nearly every single community in the state.
85 is the percentage of cargo coming into South Central Alaska in containers and rolling off of the ships like totes. When you look at all of the cargo coming into the state by air, by road, over water, the port handles half of everything coming into the state. And while a huge share of the fuel for cars and trucks moves through the port as well, there's one figure in particular that I really want you to hold on to. Of all the aviation gas used in Alaska, pretty much all of it comes through the Port of Anchorage. And as if to stress that point, our conversation is suddenly interrupted.
And so we expect to be here for another 40 years and 40 years after that.
Stopping because there is
a plane going by.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to hear at the end, but in the corner of the room, Green's senior operations manager, Michael Thrasher, says that's fuel. And what he means is that fuel for the jet planes flying training runs out of J-Bear came through the port. That's also true of the commercial jet fuel that supplies large airports, as well as the armada of small planes knitting together communities off the road system. After Green and I talk, I drive a few miles down the road, the same way a cargo container travels, to a breakdown center, which you can think of as like a big sorting room, but with forklifts. It's managed by Carlisle, a trucking company owned by the same parent corporation that oversees Tote. As trailers are backed up to the cargo bays, operations manager Tom Hubbard opens one of the containers from that day's ship and points to labels for where the products are bound.
Fish house and Seward. I mean, as you can see, the stuff comes off. This is probably paper for Office Max.
About half of everything shipped on a delivery like this one eventually moves on to communities beyond the municipality.
So stuff that goes from Anchorage to Fairbanks to Kenai to Seward to Prudhoe, all throughout the state. We'll do the same thing and then backfill these trailers to send them on to where they're going next.
The whole operation hinges on ships being able to dock and unload at the port. And in part two of this series, we'll look at why that key step is threatened as the port's basic infrastructure erodes into the sea. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
A video showing just how much freight comes off a ship in a single day can be found on our website, alaskapublic.org.